Reaching more than 25 radio stations across the Michigan Talk Network and streaming worldwide on America's Voice, this is the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you back here on a Thursday. You can always drop me a line at stevegruber.com. For those of you people turning in and watching the streaming, good to see you again today. My next guest, Dr. Lauren Wright, an associate research scholar and lecturer. She teaches about the presidency and executive power at Princeton University and a regular guest on the program. She contributes to The Hill, The Huffington Post, and, of course, this program. Dr. Lauren Wright with us. Doctor, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Steve.
Always good to have you here. So did the president have the legal authority to kill General Soleimani?
Most people think he did. The debate, I think, is surrounding whether this was indeed supposed to deter an imminent attack from a hostile foreign power, or it was just a moment in which they had eyes on someone previous presidents had been trying to get, and of course is responsibility for a lot of terrorism and a lot of American deaths, and whether it was the good time and place and the president acted and he thought that it was authorized because Iran has been openly hostile to the U.S. in recent years.
All right. Well, let me try this again.
Go ahead,
this
Steve.
Is important because you teach executive power. You teach about the presidency at Princeton, correct?
Yes.
Again, did the president have the legal authority to kill General Soleimani? Not a debate
I
between other people.
Did,
what do you
but
think?
I also know why the War Powers Act is so controversial and why the AUMF is so controversial. And the reason is because all presidents seek to expand their war powers. It is the most broad, most sweeping area that they have power in, foreign policy, national security in particular. And both parties want to secure that, but when their guy is not in office, they want to curtail it. So the problem is Congress doesn't typically act as an independent body, it acts according to party lines.
So you're
when there's
telling
a Republican
me,
in the White House, you better bet Republicans are okay with that. And when there's a Democrat, they're not. And that's what we're basically seeing with the exception of Mike Lee and Rand Paul right now.
Well, there used to be a time when if you killed a terrorist, everybody got on board. If you kill al-Baghdadi, the president is criticized. If you kill Osama bin Laden, President Obama was praised by Republicans and Democrats. It's a different day politically than it was then. And you're right, Mike Lee and Rand Paul have a different take on all of this. But when we let the dust clear now, and knowing that the Iranians sent back 15 missiles that went nowhere except into dirt, the Scorpions were in big trouble the night those missiles were flying from Iran, but nobody else. Didn't touch an American member of the military, didn't touch any equipment, very minimal in everything that happened in response, and now it seems that we have stood down. I think that's a pretty good trade, don't you?
I do, but I also think that had the president said, look, this was a response to hostility from Iran, rather than saying there's a specific imminent attack, which now has invited everyone to ask questions, maybe he would have retained more of that goodwill and more of the applause that he was seeming to get in recent days. I don't think anyone disagrees with the fact that it's good that Soleimani is gone. I just think
I think that I saw Ilhan
was risky because Iran could have hit U.S. soldiers. They didn't, but they could have.
Yeah, I don't know if you're right about the last statement when I see Ilhan Omar and the squad saying, Ilhan Omar saying she has PTSD and feels ill because the Americans have taken out Soleimani. That's a bit shocking to me to see members of Congress standing together basically supporting what I believe is a terrorist regime in Tehran. And which brings us back to the Ukrainian airliner. It seems pretty obvious that it's most likely the Iranians shot down that Ukrainian airliner by accident. I'm not saying they did it specifically with ill intent. But 737s don't fall out of the sky, especially when they're new. And this one's new, and it's not one of the MAX planes that had issues. And the Iranians are obviously not talking about it. Planes can fly with one engine. Planes can fly with no engines, and all of a sudden it just falls out of the sky. I think they made a mistake like we did in 1988 when we shot down an Iranian flight during a similar time of conflict. What do you make of that?
Well, that's a real developing story. I mean, I don't have any other information other than the reporting I'm reading, and I do think that we'll find out. I think we're more likely to get a clear answer about that than we are about the imminent attack that the president and his supporters are talking about.
All right, so let me ask you this. Dr. Lauren Wright here with us, an associate research scholar and lecturer at Princeton on topics like executive power and so forth. If the Iranians let it sit here, because we've basically been at this simmering point with Iran since 1979.
Yes.
And if they let it sit here and they don't do any more retaliatory strikes and it seems to settle down, we're probably okay. If they come back now and, like the Ayatollah said, and said this was just a slap in the face, but we could do more. If they do do more, I think that the American people will turn largely in favor of Donald Trump and dealing with that. But I don't think anybody in America wants a war. I certainly don't want a new war in the Middle East. But I also know that we can't sit there idly if we get provoked again. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think there's not public support for a war of any kind right now, especially in the Middle East. And I don't think the president wants one either. I mean, I've heard these arguments made that, you know, he's wagging the dog and he's trying to distract from impeachment. A war would be terrible for his presidency. You know, his economy is the crown jewel of his administration. That's what he might be reelected on. And a war would, you know, shoot oil prices through the roof, you know, say goodbye to the healthy market that we're seeing. So I don't believe those things about the president just doing this to distract.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
That said, had Iran killed American soldiers, I think the political landscape would be very, very different right now. That would have really changed the politics had Americans died because of that strike.
Well, here's my question. I guess the point is still kind of the same. If there's a strike now, if the Iranians come back now after this back and forth and they attack and an American soldier or more are killed, as a result, I think it changes the landscape in Donald Trump's favor. I mean, let's be honest about this. No sitting president, sitting war president, has ever lost re-election. So that's a fact, historical in nature. So right now, it seems that things have gone pretty well for the president. It couldn't have turned out much better for him, in fact. You kill the terrorist. The Iranians throw missiles at the dirt. They stomp their feet and say, we showed you, and everybody goes home. That's a pretty good outcome.
I think it is. I mean, I do think that he got a pretty positive response on the whole. And you know, we've seen a lot of drone strikes.
Sure.
Sometimes you hit the target exactly, and it's surgical and it's accurate. And sometimes there are innocent casualties, and this is not that case. This was, if you had to argue for a justified use of a drone strike, this would probably be as justified as it gets with
textbook.
This person.
Textbook.
Right.
Which brings us back to our ability to focus. You know the argument's over from the left when they say, okay, we need to talk about impeachment again, which is kind of where we are. I'll give you quickly the last word. You got 20 seconds.
Well, I know we've argued a lot about impeachment on this show, Steve, but I do think Democrats are starting to lose the public argument a little bit.
Diane
Feinstein made a really good point that if it's so urgent, why are you holding it up? So people are going to start asking questions like that. I think the time's come for Nancy Pelosi to move those articles along and to get the process moving.
As they say, put up or shut up. And yeah, when Diane Feinstein is no longer on your team, problems are occurring. Dr. Lauren Wright, always appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at DTEimpact.com. DTE.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us. But it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.